So today we're going to talk about the idea of when you fast. We're going to look at it from that angle. Now, many of us probably have driven through fog before. Now, driving through fog sometimes isn't really that fun. You know, something about driving down the highway on the interstate even, or on a regular two-lane highway, and you can only see 20 foot in front of your face. You know, you got to keep moving, because if you don't keep moving, somebody's going to hit you from behind. But you can't really see very far in advance. And it's kind of scary when you don't really know what's coming. You know something's out there, but you can't really see what it is. Now, I love it on a foggy day when the sun starts to come out and that sun starts to burn through that fog. You know, it's just beautiful how it's like a laser beam. It just burns through that fog, and all of a sudden, the fog starts to melt away. And you can see the things that's been out there all the time, but with your naked eye, you couldn't see them. Now, I believe that fasting helps the S-O-N rise up in our life, and he can burn away the fog and the things that is trying to hold us back. And because fasting, what it does, it brings breakthrough to our life. Now, I don't know about you, but we need breakthrough. And breakthrough is very powerful. The passage of Scripture that I've chosen to share today is found in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. And Jesus was talking here. And he said something kind of startling. It is for our culture. For their culture, it wasn't. But for our culture, it is. He says, "Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." There's a power statement right there that we can tap into. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity today. And Lord, we ask that this anointing be here to be able to break every yoke of bondage that's trying to hold us back. Lord, we know that our flesh, the old man, tries to rise up and tries to keep us back from your best. But Lord, right now we thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke to be able to set us free. And Lord, I yield to that gift you give me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this passage of Scripture is kind of short, but yet it goes into some really strong spiritual nuggets that you and I can glean. Now, the first one that should stand out to us is the idea of when you fast. When you fast. And to me, with my lightning quick intellect, that means I should be fasting. Jesus is talking to his followers here. And he assumed that all the people listening to him was going to do some sort of fasting in their life. Now, as we look at it, as I alluded to earlier, it's kind of a cultural thing. In our culture, we don't do it. Now, usually when we fast in our culture, it's usually to lose weight. Right? Be honest. Come on. A lot of people fast. They do juice fasting. They do different things because they want to lose some weight. But really, fasting, that's a side effect, that's fine. But primarily, fasting is a spiritual thing. And the people of this culture who is talking to the Jewish nation, fasting was a part of their arsenal. It was a part of their life that they were commanded to do at certain times. Now, the first thing that we remember is, remember Esther. You know, Haman had hated the Jews. He hated Mordecai. And he wanted to kill all the Jews. And he got the king to be able to sign a paper saying, "We're going to wipe them all out on this day." Well, then Mordecai, I can't remember, different people pronounce it. I go back and forth, so I hope I don't confuse you. It's the same guy. But he went and talked to Esther, because Esther had been raised up as to the queen, and they didn't really know what her nationality was. But what they did is they did, a 3-day fast. And when they did this 3-day fast, it turned the total situation around and it saved their nation. As a matter of fact, it turned the weapon back on their enemy that was meant for them. Nineveh, remember Jonah? Jonah was a prophet, and Jonah said, God, now maybe you've prayed this prayer, be careful if you do, God, I'll do anything for you. I'll do anything you want me to do. God said, go to Nineveh and tell them to repent. I don't want to do that. He hated Nineveh. They were a nation that didn't get along with the Jewish people, and he didn't want them to get saved. How cold is that? Anyway, you know the whole belly of the whale deal and all that. But anyway, the whale spit him out at close to Nineveh. He had to walk in there. But anyway, when he told them to repent, they repented and even put their animals on a fast. And what happened with that fasting situation, it saved Nineveh. God changed his mind about destroying Nineveh, and they were spared. So that's two illustrations of what fasting can do. The last one I just want to share briefly is the apostles fasted when they had to make a big decision. And that's similar to the fast like I shared earlier about myself. A big decision coming up. One time they were fasting, and it says separate, you know, Paul and I think Silas or Barnabas, I don't remember which one right now, to come, and they're going to go out as missionaries. So they was able to make a big decision because they fasted. It's not the fact that God's lacking power to get to us. The fact is that there's an enemy out there. We're not going to go deep into this today. But in the book of Daniel, read that. And it talks about how Daniel was looking for an answer from God. God sent the angel to bring the answer. But the principalities and the powers, the things that we can't see with our naked eye. If you believe in a God, you got to believe in a devil, and you got to believe in fallen angels, and you have to believe in good angels. It's the whole package. Anyway, there's a cosmic conflict going on around us. And what fasting did, it was able to bring breakthrough so that that information sent from God was able to get to Daniel. So fasting is a good thing. It says, see, fasting was not man's idea, it was God's idea. Nobody in their right mind would say, hey, let's quit eating food for a while. Would you think of that idea? No. But God did. It was a way of, and we're going to go into some of the benefits of what fasting does here in a moment and how important it is. So when we fast, and Jesus went into this with his followers here, he was telling them fasting is not to get man's attention, but fasting is what we do to get God's attention. And in saying that, I want us, when we fast, whatever it may be, you may not go without food for whatever reason. What I plan on doing with the Daniel fast is, like I mentioned, I'm going to do Daniel fast, and then intermittently I'm going to do a total fast intermittently through that 21 days, because I'm looking for breakthrough. I want breakthrough in my life, and I want breakthrough in the life of the church. And when we do this fast together corporately, you know, there's more power. We can really break through. If you believe in the story of Daniel, where it talked about the principalities and powers were hindering the revelation coming from God, just think how much power we would have if we yoke up our arms together to be able to see breakthrough. And I encourage you to be a part of that. Now, the reason why Jesus was saying, you know, what he did in the Old Testament, when they fasted, they would take some ashes. You ever heard that old saying, I repent with dust and ashes? They would pick up dust and ashes, and they would sprinkle it over their head. And so they would have these dust and ashes, and everybody could see, hey, they're fasting. But Jesus says, don't do that. He said, you know, anoint your head with oil, meaning, which I don't put, you know, I don't put oil on anything anymore. But anyway, I never did. You may remember Burl cream. My dad used to use that. That's as close to oil as 10W40 as you get, man. That stuff was thick. But anyway, that's how they used to hold their hair in place. The guys did. And girls used other options. But, you know, primarily, he said, anoint yourself. You know, fix yourself up a little bit. You know, Jesus said, look good fasting. Just look good. You know, don't draw attention. Put on a happy face. You know, I've watched some people, I'm dying. You know, they're fasting. Oh, poor me. I'm in pain. I'm not selling fasting very good doing that, am I? I just now thought of that. That's a bad, oh dear, you know. There is a little, like I went off coffee today. I messed up. I'll be honest with you. For some reason, I thought March 1st was on Wednesday. And I looked at my, I must have looked at some calendar wrong. And so I'd planned this all out. And then when I was loading that up on the website, I got to looking. Bummer. March 1st is on Tuesday. That king fixed up today because I was going off coffee today. Then I'd have 2 days to get kind of a little bit of the pain out of my body until the fast started. Well, I just got moved up 24 hours, so I start on Tuesday. If you go without caffeine, you might get a minor headache, you know, and there's ways of dealing with that. But, you know, primarily, you know, you just need to keep it as secret as possible. Now, as I mentioned, we're doing a corporate fast, and there's a different thing. Now, I don't believe in my own opinion that it's that you have to just try to be so covert about it all the time. Mainly, it's your motive. You don't draw attention to yourself when you're fasting. Say, hey, look at me. Yeah, I wouldn't go out and buy a t-shirt. You know, hey, I'm fasting. You know, look at me. I'm spiritual. You know, that's what, you know, that's what he's kind of getting at there. Now, if somebody comes up to you and says, you know, that, hey, would you like to go out for lunch and you're doing this fast or something? You know, you're going to have to give them an answer. Right? You know, I don't believe in my own heart. You're kind of hemmed in a corner there. I think you have to give an answer. Say, no, I'm kind of fasting. You know, we're doing something at the church and we're fasting over, you know, Lent here for 21 days. You know, don't do like this. You know, this kind of drives, and the youth do this to me sometimes. Come up to me and say, I got a secret. I say, what is it? I can't tell you. Well, now you want to know, right? So somebody says, comes up and says, hey, you want to go out to eat? No, I can't go out to eat with you, and I can't tell you why. Well, you're just drawing attention to yourself, right? I mean, just say, hey, I'm fasting. Sorry, I can't do it right now. You know, but we'll take a rain check on that. You know, so what it does is, or don't say this. Some people get real spiritual when they do stuff. If somebody says, let's go out to eat, and, you know, go out, don't say something like, I'm not hungry for the things of this world. You know what I mean? I've heard it all. You know what I mean? They just quote Jesus, you know, or try to do something like that. It's just comical what we try to do sometimes to get close to God. But there is a better way. Just being yourself. Just being practical in the things that you do. Because if we do fasting right, we're going to get a reward. Because that's what Jesus promised in that scripture. We're going to get a reward. And a reward is talking about favorable compensation. There's favorable compensation when we step out and we do this. So what I think of it when I look at fasting is not just about what I'm going without, but it's really what I'm going to get when I get to the other side. Because I know. I've experienced. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't fasted as good as I should. My wife's very disciplined at it, but I haven't been doing it like I know I should. And I feel convicted in my heart about it because I know I can do better. And it's not about works, but I just know in my heart, you know, some things that I know I need to do. So we're going to look at the spiritual benefits of fasting right there now. I'm just going to share a few of them just to kind of hopefully, stir us up to want to go after this. You know, one thing we remember, and I'm talking about fasting because that is the main topic today, but I just want to make sure that whenever I say fasting, I'm always alluding to prayer. I'm alluding that prayer must accomplish it because fasting without prayer is just starving. Been there, did that. We've all starved before, right? You know, been hungry, whatever the case may be. But see, God, If we can spend that time that you're, and some say the time that you're normally eating that meal, let's say you're doing a total food fast or maybe you're doing a fast where you're just going to skip a meal every now and then, and I'll be honest, that's pretty simple to do. But during that meal time, just spend a little extra time in prayer. You know, getting close to God and letting God know that, hey, I'm serious. I want to take our relationship to the next level. Amen. I want to go deeper into the things of God and being able to understand it. Now, with that being said, the idea of fasting, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms that talks about, you know, my soul is like a weaned child. Now, this is a little bit of a disclaimer. You might get a little irritable when you fast. And it may happen. I know back, you know, years ago, When my kids were younger and I was fasting and they learned I was fasting, they would say, "Oh no." And they'd go and hide because they knew that Dad was going to be a grouch. And really, I got to thinking about that. You know, that wasn't very good on my part, letting my flesh be. So what I kind of feel is that you may get a little grouchy or owly because you're going without some stuff, you know, but, you know, try to keep your flesh under control, suppressed, you know what I mean? And I think we'll get a little better benefit from the fast. Now, the idea of weight loss and fasting, there's a good possibility you will lose some weight if you do your fast properly. But weight loss is not what we're going for in this. We're going for the spiritual. So you want to keep the spiritual on the front burner. But yet, hey, I'm all about benefits, man. If I can get two things instead of just one thing, I'm all for that. How about you? You know, I'd rather have two things than one thing. So I do know if I do it right, I will maybe put my temple in a little better shape. But that's on the back burner. I keep it back there. You know, because I know that as I go without and I put my flesh under, you know, there's going to be some benefits. And that's what we need to do is just keep that. So here's a few of the spiritual benefits that you and I can expect when we fast. Something you never think about, but I believe it's going to bring us back to our first love. You know, Jesus is supposed to be our first love, right? But how many know that life can get in the way of true life? Capital L-I-F-E. We get so busy, we're chasing after this, doing that. You know, we got a bunch of, you know, so many things going on, chasing after our kids. You know, it's just a whirlwind. Life becomes a whirlwind. And what happens is that, you know, we don't forget to eat usually, right? And we don't forget to do the fun stuff. But what happens is that our spiritual side of our life gets put on the back burner. And we forget about that part. And we don't really, you know, do the things that we need to do. And I'll be honest, people, you know, being a Christian is more than just going to church, although that is important. You know, it's the idea of the spiritual disciplines that you and I could participate in and practice to be able to keep back. Because, you know, the weapons of our warfare are mighty in pulling down the strongholds. Because we wrestle with principalities and powers. And the closer you want to get with God and starting to do things for God, you know, Satan's going to try to stop you. But I'll tell you what, I'm not afraid of the devil. Amen. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, I don't go out just picking on him and messing with him, you know, saying try to, you know, boast in a boasting way. But I do know over years of experience of knowing that God is greater and he lives inside of me. I don't have to be afraid of him. Because I'll just call on my protector. And he'll come to my rescue. Because we all need rescued from time to time. So the idea of bringing us back to our first love, and what it does is fasting for whatever season of time that you choose to do, it puts our focus back. Because really, a lot of times, the problems that we have in life are focus issues. Our focus gets broken. And we start looking after things, and then before you know it, we're neglecting. You know, it's kind of, life sometimes to me is like those, now some of you kids ain't going to know what I'm talking about, but those old plate spinners. Remember the poles you had out there, and you know, a guy'd start the plates to spinning, and you run from plate to plate, and the more plates you get to spinning, you're going to end up one breaking. You know, it's crazy. I broke a plate yesterday at home. I couldn't believe it. I haven't broken nothing for a long time. You know, I just set it on the counter, but evidently I missed. And I've never seen a plate break that way before in my life. Usually they break in four or five pieces. This thing went in hundreds of pieces. Just a spider break and just pieces flying everywhere. Because I wasn't focused. I didn't pay attention to what I was doing. I was thinking about something else when I was doing that. I ended up letting that plate drop. And that's the way life is. So if we keep our focus at fasting, like just different seasons, it brings things back. Next, what fasting will do, it'll humble us. Humble us. Humility is very important in getting close to God. You know, fasting reveals that we have a heart condition. You know, some people have a physical heart condition, but all Christians have a spiritual heart condition. It's a condition that we need to deal with, and a lot of times it's pride. You know, self-preservation. You know, we try to preserve self, and what God wants us to do is to be able to humble ourselves, because what happens is that when we fast, we start to, what I found out, it brings us back to God's sufficiency, and it humbles me in a way that it takes me away from my own sufficiency. Because I have a strong will, and I can do things. You have talents and stuff, and be honest, you know there's people that survive on this earth and don't know God, don't they? There's a lot of unsaved people out there doing things. But as a believer, we need to get to another place in our walk where that we know that we need God. And what this will do, it'll bring us back to that place that is sacred, where we have that intimate relationship with Him. And something that the Lord's been showing me is the idea of what this will do. You know, one of the problems in our culture is the fact, I don't know if you've noticed, but we have more of a consumer mentality rather than a contributor mentality. What I mean by a consumer mentality, when we go into anything, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? You know, instead of saying, what can I do to make this situation better? And really, that's a pride thing to some degree, that we think everything revolves around us. And that's something that we need to get rid of in our life, that we just think that, we're the center of the universe, and we're not. Jesus is. Amen. It revolves around what He does, God. And it's important that we reestablish that principle in our life, because even a lot of people, when they, some people, when they go to different situations, I'll just use church as an example. A lot of people, when they come to church, what you got today for me? Huh? Last week was good, but what do you got today? Instead of coming in and say, what can I do to help make this church better? What can I do to strengthen the body of Christ? And when we get to that, this is a totally different sermon in itself, but it's going to talk about true exaltation, of how the principles of God work in the kingdom, where we can start, as we humble ourselves, and then God exalts us, we will never fail. But when we exalt ourselves, we're doing it just like the devil did it, and God will bring us down. So it's important that we get that humility thing and start to figure it out. Next, what it does, fasting, it suppresses the flesh. Suppresses the flesh. It's the old nature. You know, as we live our life down here, and you have that flesh nature, it's the old nature, and it doesn't want to give up. Usually we can keep it at bay to some degree, but there's certain things that we do that will make it rise up. You know, attitude, and being able to submit ourselves one to another, things like this. But them attitudes kind of come up. And as I used the fog illustration, that's kind of what the flesh is like. Because as the flesh rises up, it brings a fog to our life. Because here's how this really works. Our old nature, we got the new nature of Christ living inside of us, and then you have the old nature that still doesn't want to die. And there's a battle going on, and in that battle, what happens then, both are fighting for supremacy. And you've heard that old story about I think it's an Indian story, where the old Indian telling the kid, there's two wolves living inside of you, talking about the spiritual side and the carnal side. And the little boy says, well, which one wins? And the old Indian said, the one you feed the most. And it's like that with our walk with God. You know, you got the old nature and the new nature. And you want the new nature to win, because that draws us closer to God, experientially. You know, positionally, that doesn't change, right? You know, you're about as saved as you're going to get as far as a legal status in the kingdom of God. Once you're born again, you have a passport now, shall we say, for lack of a better term, that you're a Christian. Now, how good a Christian we're going to be, that talks about experientially. That talks about the walk that we have down here on earth. And how that comes into play goes back to, what do we feed the most? You know, are we feeding ourselves spiritually? Are we wanting to grow spiritually to be able to suppress that flesh? And then we walk in that humility so that when, you know, everybody gets bad stuff done to them, right? You can probably think about how somebody's offended you in the last week, month, you know. Somebody done something to you, and, you know, are you going to get them back? Or are you going to give them a pass, you know? And how that works, and being able to forgive, you know, because God forgave us. And the idea of forgiveness and how that all plays into our walk with God, you know, opens a lot of doors for us in the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of us pray for power. Oh, God, give me power. I want to cast out devils. I want to heal the sick. Maybe even raise the dead. Amen. Just like Jesus. Then somebody passes you or cuts you off at the street, you know, and you pray some prayer, God, get them. Huh? You think God's going to give you power to do that? You're dangerous. We got to walk in love. Start getting that love walk up. So as it clears the fog, it also, you know, cleans up those clogged communication lines with God. Hey, God speaks to his people. I believe it. He speaks to me. I know better than you are. But sometimes we just don't hear. So fasting opens up that communication line so that we can hear from God. And for your own reference, you can look at Isaiah 58:5-12. Talks about breaking through. And that's what fasting will do. It'll give you a breakthrough. Lastly, it'll give us the idea of a richer prayer life. And I'll be honest, the books that I read the most, I really don't know why, but I read about prayer. I have a prayer manual that my wife and I got right after we were married over 30 years ago. I'm still reading that thing. I go through it, then I'll wait a while, then I'll go through it again. And it talks about the old-time prayer warriors. Some of those people just amazing. The connection and the relationship that they had with God. Because really all prayer is communication. Communication with God. And as we get to that place, you know, as you fast, it makes you kind of hungry for food sometimes, but it makes you hungry for God. Have you ever been hungry for God? Every now and then I am. Every now and then I just get a hankering for God deep down inside. Usually it's popcorn or something like that at night. But sometimes I just get, oh man, something inside of me is drawing me. And nothing satisfies me other than just getting alone with God. And that's what fasting will do. As it breaks the power of the flesh in our life, it gives us that hunger. And because what happens is that, you know, spiritual satisfaction can only come through a deep prayerful relationship with our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. You know, last three weeks, we've talked about communication. You know, on how we can get better at communicating and with our spouse or with other people, and what's all entailed in that kind of communication and connecting relationships was the name of it. And fasting, what it does, it connects us deeper with our relationship with God experientially. I just want to stress that. Fasting's not going to get you more saved legally with God. Because I don't want to get us over into works righteousness, because some people go that direction. They go from one side, from one ditch to the other ditch. You know, we want to stay on the road. So what it's going to do, it's going to help your experience, your relationship with God. Now, lastly, I just want to encourage us, because we've got a couple days yet before we're going to start this corporately, is to get a plan. Get a plan. You know, do your research. Find out what it is that we want to do. Number one, you need to have an objective. If you're going to do a fast, you need to have an objective in your life. Number one, you need, like me, it's personal breakthrough in my life. I know there's more there. I know I'm not where I could be with God. Spiritually, and walking in His anointing and His power. I've been deeper before, and I'm not there right now where I was at one time. So I know there's more there in the tank. And I want to get to that place. That's what I hunger for. Secondly, we're going to do it as a church. We want to see breakthrough. You know, principalities and powers, you know, attacking people in the church, holding people back. And so we're going to pull down those strongholds, you know, in their life. And a stronghold is just a pattern of thinking that causes us to think wrong. And so as we fast and pray, we're going to see that. So have an objective, what you're praying for personally or what you're fasting for personally, what you want to see in your own life. Maybe it could be, you know, marriage or to get married or a work situation, whatever the case may be, you know, use your imagination. Like me, land some supplies. I'm doing the Daniel fast. So I'm getting kind of stocked up a little bit. The worst thing you can do if you are going to do a fast where you're doing certain things, especially like a Daniel fast, where you're just going to eat certain foods, is not have those foods in the house. You look up and you see tater chips. And you don't have any brown rice or something, you know. No vegetables in the house, but you got a lot of tater chips, you know. Your flesh is going to get you, man. I'm telling you. It's going to get you. You're probably going to fail. Now, if you do fail, get right back up.
Amen.
Get right back up. Maybe you're fasting coffee. You know, maybe coffee's a stronghold in your life, and that's what you really love. And you all of a sudden you drink a cup or a sip or something. Don't get in condemnation if you do stumble in whatever or you're fasting. Just get right back up and start again. God will forgive us. It's not about, you know, showing off or anything. It's about getting close to God, right? So keep that in mind if you do stumble. You know, some people, when they try a total fast, now I don't encourage you to do 21 days right off the crack. You know, if you never fasted before, it might be a little rough on you if you're going to do a total fast. I mean, and just as a disclaimer for the church, only do it under medical supervision. You know what I mean? I'm saying that so nobody can sue us if you die of starvation. Amen? You won't. But anyway, so, you know, lay in some supplies, whatever that may be. Next, get a prayer partner. Wouldn't hurt. Find somebody you can pray with. Also, you can get an accountability partner. You know, if some of you want to try the Daniel fast, come up and see me. I have a lot of research I've been doing for the last several weeks. You know, I can share with you. And we can, you know, encourage each other and share recipes with each other and keep each other fired up. Amen? That's what we need. Have an exit plan. This is where I used to fail at fasting. I wouldn't call it fail. Let's just say I didn't come off a fast right. I would do fasting, and what I would do, as I've shared with many of you before, my thing is I love corn chips with salsa. So I would fast for, you know, maybe 3 days or, you know, maybe just a day, and my first meal, I would just load up on corn chips and just all kinds of paste, picante, just eat it. Gave into my flesh is what it was doing. See, I still got benefits from the fasting, but I didn't get the full benefit because I gave into my flesh. So when you exit the fast, you know, have kind of a plan. And what I mean by that is don't binge eat. That way it keeps our flesh under control, because that was one of our prime ideas, was to get our flesh under control. So if it's day 22 and you did do this fast, you know, maybe just limit your consumption of whatever you let off on. You know, maybe it was TV or something. Don't go 24-hour binge on Netflix, you know, because you're giving into your flesh. So keep the flesh down. So just incrementally come off your fast in whatever you feel that you're going to do. Like me, after going 21 days, you know, without meat, you know, I like steak. Probably the smartest thing for me not to do is go out and get like a, you know, a 30-ounce steak and just polish that off, you know. Just give in to my flesh. No. You know, I'll probably go off with pork chop or something first, a little smaller. No, just kidding. I don't know yet. But anyway, so do that. And lastly, as you all know, drink plenty of water. Different people do different kinds of water. Some like just drinking purified water. A lot of our waters have so much chlorine and different things in it, you know. I don't get bothered. I love the taste of our water here in town. There's people that come down, like Denise's family, they can't drink it. They have to drink bottled water all the time because of the taste and, you know, just different things. But yeah, so get a plan, and I encourage you to be a part of this if you can in some way, shape, or form. I encourage you to just see what God can do in your life. Expect God to speak to you and to give you direction, because God has a plan. And we just have to, you know, humble ourselves and get to be a part of it. And I want to see great things happen in this church and everybody that's a part of this church. To see you walking in the authority that God has given you. But I'll be honest, it doesn't happen by accident. I believe in grace, but I also believe in wisdom. And, you know, part of it is using everything that God has put at our disposal to get the victory. Amen? Let's pray.